إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, there was a scholar in Morocco by the name of Abu al-Asim al-Qasim ibn Yusuf al-Sabti. And he wrote a letter to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and he asked him four questions. He asks him, what is the best advice that you can give me for my dunya and akhirah? He asked him, what is the best deed to do after the obligatory deeds? He asked him, what is the best job that I can do that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with me and will increase my risk? And then he asked him, what books can I read to continue my pursuit of Islamic knowledge? And keep in mind, this is a sheikh, you know, in his own right. He's a scholar of hadith. And subhanAllah, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he wrote back a letter, and this letter became known as Al-Wasiyyah al-Sughra. And he starts off by answering the first question. And just remember these four questions, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, because they'll be the crux of our khutbah. So question number one was, what is the best advice you can give me for my dunya and akhirah? And look at what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah starts off his letter with. He says, the best advice for your dunya and akhirah is the advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I found this to be a beautiful response. Because when we look at our own epistemology, when we look at how do we know things, oftentimes we would think, you know, the Shaykh may quote another scholar, he may quote another hadith, he may quote something else, but he builds a general framework that our knowledge comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. العلم قال الله قال الرسول وقال الصحابة وليس بالتمويه ما العلم نسبق للخلاف سفاحة بين الرسول وبين الرأي فقيه. That knowledge is what Allah said, what His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and what the companions agreed upon. That is what knowledge is in our deen. So then Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he goes on to explain what is the advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَقَدْ وَسَيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنْ يَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. That indeed we have advised the nations before you and you as well to have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the verse that he quotes. And then he quotes the advice that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And I think it's important to contextualize this very briefly. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes him as the most knowledgeable of this ummah with regards to halal and haram. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he likens Mu'adh ibn Jabal to the likes of Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the sense that he was an ummah all by himself. And this was who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose to represent him in the land of Yemen. Now I want you to think about this. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he knows that perhaps he may never see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam again after this. That was the likelihood. So whatever advice the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu is a farewell advice. That whatever advice I am giving you should suffice you for the rest of your life. It should suffice you as a leader. It should suffice you in interacting with the people of Yemen. And it would suffice you in your meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps the most important thing. So the advice the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives him is, ittaqillah haythuma kunt. Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. And follow up a bad deed with a good one, and it will wipe it out. And treat people with the best of manners. And this is going to be the crux of our khutbah today, my dear brothers and sisters. That the best advice you will ever receive in your whole entire life is to have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why taqwa is repeated so often. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he goes on to explain in Al-Wasiyatul Sughra that taqwa has two meanings, a general meaning and a specific meaning. The general meaning of taqwa is the entirety of the deen. Everything that we know of Islam is taqwa. And then he says the specific meaning of taqwa is that which will create a barrier between you and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you live your whole entire life thinking, what I am doing, will that create a barrier between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or will that break that barrier? And this is why, my dear brothers and sisters, if you look at the essence of Islam, Islam is a religion of action, without a shadow of a doubt. But righteous actions cannot take place up and until the heart is righteous, up until the mind is righteous, up until the nafs is righteous. And this is why as much work as we do physically, there needs to be just as much work internally. And if you do not rectify the heart, the actions will not become rectified. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he reminds us that there is a morsel of flesh in the body. If it is rectified, the whole body will rectify it. But if it is not rectified, the whole body will be corrupt. Indeed, it is the heart. So now when Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he gives this advice of having taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is reminding us all that let us develop this framework as much as we possibly can. Ask yourself a simple question multiple times throughout the day. The action that I'm currently doing, will it put a barrier between me and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then throughout the day, ask ourselves this question, what actions can I do to put a barrier between myself and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the more frequently a person does this, the more they will be able to align their path to that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells Mu'adh ibn Jabal, follow up a bad deed with a good one so that it may wipe it out. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that there's four things that will wipe out the sins of a person. There are four things that will wipe out the sins of a person. They are tawbah, they are istighfar without tawbah, they are the kaffarat, and then the patience in times of tribulation. Patience in times of tribulation. Let us go through these. He mentions number one as tawbah. Tawbah, my dear brothers and sisters, generally speaking, is to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this specific context, it refers to five or six things. Number one, to sincerely repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, to give up the sin immediately. As soon as you learn what you're doing is sinful, you give up that sin immediately. Number three, you make the intention to never return to that sin again. Number four, you feel remorse and regret in your heart. And this is the most important of them. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us, an-nadmu tawbah, that to feel remorse and regret, that is the essence of tawbah within of itself. And then last but not least, you do it in its appropriate time, before the soul reaches its throat prior to death, or before the sun rises from the west. The scholars mention a sixth condition, that if you had violated someone's rights, meaning another human being, then you have to return their rights to them. Let us go through these one by one. Sincerity is at the top of all affairs. Meaning if things are not done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only will they not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there will be no sustainability either. A sign of sincerity is that you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and to give you tawfiq for tawbah and to cleanse you of all of your sins. And seeing how you are in private in comparison to how you are in public. The person that is sincere in their tawbah will strive their utmost best to be better in private than they are in public. Number two is to give up the sin immediately. Oftentimes people think that they always have time, right? Oftentimes people think, I always have more time. The younger you are, the more delusional you become with regards to time, subhanAllah. But just today, for those of you that follow hockey, we know that those two young hockey players, they passed away. They were in peak health. They were in the peak of their ages, in their 20s and early 30s. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed they were going to pass away. And that is the reality of this life, my dear brothers and sisters. None of us know when we're going to pass away. So to think, oh, I can perform tawbah and give up sins later on in my life, that later on is not confirmed for you. In fact, it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you commit a sin and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't hold you accountable immediately, meaning He doesn't cause you to die upon that sin, it is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted good for you, and thus He gave you time to perform tawbah. For when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want good for people, He allows them to die upon the sins that they commit. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you life, it's because He wanted something good for you. It is for you to give up your sin and to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, it's not just enough to give up the sin, but you have to make the intention that you're not going to return to that sin either. And this is going to be difficult, particularly when we talk about substance abuse. Whether we're talking about cigarettes, whether we're talking about alcohol, whether we're talking about marijuana, whether we're talking about other narcotics as well, or we may be even talking about other addictions that we have as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make things easy for us and our brothers and sisters that are struggling. Allahumma ameen. Now in this situation, does a person make the intention that I'm not going to return back to it, even though he knows that there's a likelihood that he will? And the answer is 100% yes. Even if you know for a fact that you will go back, make the intention. Make the intention that I'm giving this up permanently right now, even if you go back, because with that intention, you continue to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. But if you have that defeatist mindset that I can never give up this sin, you have basically said that the influence of shaitan over you is greater than the influence of the Quran and the Sunnah. It is greater than your iman. It is greater than your aspiration for Jannah. It is greater than your fear of the hellfire. And we can never allow that to happen. So even if you struggle, make that intention that you will not return back to it. Then the next point was to feel remorse and regret. And perhaps this is even more difficult than the previous one. Because we live in a day and age where we're constantly exposed to the haram. We're always seeing things that desensitized our hearts to those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. Whether you're watching a movie, whether you're watching a TV show, whether you're even listening to the radio now, subhanAllah, there are always things that are infiltrating our minds and infiltrating our hearts. That is why the best thing that you can do for the sake of your heart is to monitor everything that goes through your ears, everything that goes through your eyes, everything that your mind thinks about. And if you're able to purify and to protect those things, the sensitivity of the heart will be there. Meaning that when it sins against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me so much, how dare I sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your heart will stay in a good position. But if you see the haram around you and you're not able to counter it, you're not able to speak out against it, and you're seeing it so much and experiencing it so much that your heart has even stopped hating it because it became too difficult for your heart, then know that tawbah becomes even more difficult. Because how are you supposed to feel remorse and regret with something that you're constantly engaged in? So in order to retain the sensitivity of the heart, you need to monitor everything that is infiltrating your eyes and your ears and your thoughts. And the next point, to do it before death. To do it before the rising of the sun from the west. And this again, my dear brothers and sisters, is a sign that subhanAllah, none of us know when our appointed time will come. The intelligent person is the one that frequently makes tawbah, that increases in their tawbah. And when they do so, they are from the intelligent and they are preparing for their meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then last is that if you've taken the rights of someone, you return their rights to the people. So you took someone's property, you gave it back to them. You speak ill of someone, try your utmost best to apologize to them. If you're unable to apologize, speak good of them. If you're unable to speak good of them in a similar gathering, then seek forgiveness for them and give sadaqah on their behalf. And that is how you return the rights of the people. Then Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentions the second best thing that you can do is to make istighfar, even if you're not making tawbah. And what he's referring to is those individuals that feel they cannot give up their sin, they should not give up on making istighfar. In fact, continue to fight your sin and increase in making istighfar, and this is where the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. If there was only one benefit in continuously making istighfar, it is to save us from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish the people as long as you are amongst them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then the person asks, what happens when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away? What do we do then? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish them as long as they are making their istighfar, as long as they continuously seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, Ibn Taymiyyah mentions the kafarat, those things that will expiate our sins. And he says that certain sins have certain expiations. So for example, the individual that has marital intimacy in the daytime of Ramadan, they have to free a slave. If they're unable to, they have to fast for 60 consecutive days. And if they're unable to, then they have to feed 60 people. So this is a very specific kafara for a very specific sin. And in general, this is for the major sins. As for the minor sins, they have a general kafara. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins just through the good deeds that we do. And this is why it's so important to be mindful in our actions, my dear brothers and sisters, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that the drops that drop off of us when we make wudu, our sins are being forgiven. When we go into ruku', our sins fall off of us just like the leaves fall off of a tree. When we walk to the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving our sins. From one Jumu'ah to the next, from five daily prayers to the next, from one Umrah to the next, from one Hajj to the next, there is forgiveness of sins. And this is the generous nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us of this because shaitan wants you to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive you and you're never deserving of His mercy. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly reminds you that He is Ghafoor al-Rahim, that He is the pardoning and forgiving and the most merciful and the most compassionate. So who will you believe? Will you believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or will you believe the whispers of shaitan? It is so important to contour those thoughts with reminding ourselves of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more good deeds you do, then the more your minor sins will be forgiven. As for the major sins, if there's a specific kafara, do that specific kafara and then also make tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi'idhnillahi ta'ala will forgive you. And then last but not least is patience upon the calamities that we face. And these can be calamities that we face as an ummah, as in what is happening in Gaza and in Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them and grant them victory. Ameen. Or what is happening in Sudan, what is happening in Afghanistan, what is happening in Pakistan, what is happening in Libya, what is happening in Syria, and all of these catastrophes. These are global ummah facing catastrophes. Or on an individual level, where you may lose your job, where your car may get hit, you may get into an accident. If a person has the right frame of mind, then they understand that through every sadness that they feel, through every anxiety that they feel, through every pain that they feel, there's a forgiveness of sins from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us closer to Him, because when the slave is being tried, they naturally turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. In it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instills humility inside of us, because a slave that is being tried can never be arrogant, because they know it is solely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is in control. The slave that is being tried is having their ranks raised in the hereafter. And that is why Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentions this as the fourth thing. And as long as we keep this in our lives, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the pathway to success. In the second part of the khutbah, I'll briefly touch upon the last advice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, which is having good character with the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Ameen. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'il al-muslimin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafur ar-rahim. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, just to do a quick recap, we're speaking about Ibn Taymiyyah's book called Al-Wasiyat al-Sughra, where a scholar of hadith from Morocco posed questions to him, and that very first question was, what is the best advice that you can give me with regards to my dunya and akhirah? And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he responded that the best advice is the advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the advice that he's referring to is having taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he advised Mu'adh ibn Jabal as a farewell advice, he gave him three pieces of advice. To have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are, which is to constantly ask yourself the question, what I am doing, is it putting a barrier between me and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then what can I do in the future to put a barrier between myself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of good deeds? Number two, to follow up a bad deed with a good one. Every time you do a bad deed, hasten in doing good deeds. From the best of good deeds is to perform tawbah, then to perform istighfar, even if you didn't do tawbah. And then, is to do the kafarat, the general and the specific, and then last but not least, to be patient in times of calamity. Which now brings us to the last part, which is to treat people with the best of manners. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, the individual that strives hard to perfect their character will reach the level of the individual that fasts during the day and prays during the night. The Prophet ﷺ, he was telling his companions as to how they can own homes in paradise. And this is just a reminder for us as well. It is not a reality for all of us that we may own a house in this life. It's just too expensive and not feasible for everyone. But does that mean we forget about our real estate in the hereafter? Not at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more generous and more kind. And that is why He tells us so many ways as to how we can build our homes in the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that whoever gives up argumentation, even when they are right, will have a home in the lowest levels of Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that whoever gives up lying, even while joking, will have a house in the middle levels of Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that whoever strives to perfect their akhlaq will have the highest levels of Jannah. So know that as you strive to perfect your akhlaq, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only increases you in honor in this life and the next. In this life, you will become beloved to the people, and in the hereafter, you will be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in rank. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfect our akhlaq for us. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to conclude with this very point. This concept of akhlaq often gets belittled. But understand that there's a relationship between the third point and the second point. And that is that your akhlaq will truly show itself in times of calamity. Akhlaq is not about when people treat you with kindness, that you reciprocate with kindness. Akhlaq is when people cut you off, you keep ties with them. When people don't show you respect, you continue to respect them. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he specifically mentions when people don't share their knowledge and their wealth with you, you go out of your way to share your knowledge and your wealth with those people. So good akhlaq is not about being good when people are good to you. Good akhlaq is being good when people are not good to you. And that is when our character needs to shine. Right now we're about to disperse from Jummah, everyone is going to be in a hurry. And I get that. We all have families to get back to. We all have work to get back to. But this is when your akhlaq should shine at its best. This is when your akhlaq should shine at its best, when you're in a hurry to leave. So keep that as a reminder, my dear brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the muttaqeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that perform tawbah and increase in their istighfar and perform those deeds through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us and has mercy upon us and enters us into Jannah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfect our akhlaq for us. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma aghfir li hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina wa saghirina wa kabirina wa dhakarina wa unthana wa dha ahyayta ahadan minna fa ahyi ala al-islam wa dha tawaffayta ahadan minna fa tawaffahu على الإيمان. اللهم اصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا واصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا واصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معاذنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير والموت راحة لنا من كل شر. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.